The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
That's Mr. Control over there, you know what I mean?
Monsieur the occult historian, third man, godfather of internet radio. What else? Lay them on me, I'll take them. Hallelujah Trail, where it gets a little bit more difficult to walk over every single week. Wake up, it's night. My name is Frank Tolman, his name is Tony Tyler, so here we go. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello, I carry the brand of the Bard of Broadcasting. You think it's easy? Walking around, going to public places, shopping, going to public bathrooms because I'm not home, or meeting people I've never met before, being the Bard of Broadcasting? Well, I can answer you, it's a cinch. It's absolutely perfect. The particular function of the pill is to tell your brain you're not sad. So it's an artificial stimulation. There you go. Should have been a pharmacist. Should have been a farmer. Should have been the son of a farmer. Hear that? My name is Frank Atolo. Made his name during the title of the show. And, of course, as told on Facebook, and as all the Russian hackers know now, they always knew what was on this show because of Facebook. Well, they know. Marla Martinson will be here shortly. An angel reading. I get it. Maybe you, I don't remember the date because I don't do these kind of things. Don't log stuff. This is not a journal. The show is not a diary of my broadcasting efforts, if you call them efforts at all. Just a show. She was here, and we had a great time a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago. I don't know. Something. You know. Look it up. I got other things to do. I don't want to make it sound like I don't want to be here with you. I went, you know, my good friend, Wolfman Jack, used to say, the best thing about being here with you is being here with you. So don't get the idea that I feel any differently than that. What I'm saying is that Marla Martinson, boutique matchmaker. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Burn me a mate, burn me a mate. Matchmaker. I always come to you every time this show is on and every time I'm here with you. I come to you with the honest, we used to call it the GHT. Back in the old days of the show, GHT, that never caught on. God's honest truth. Nowadays, I say everything differently. We had that. We had a broadcasting dictionary, like, you know, the Urban Dictionary. We had a broadcasting language that we created for the internet, for digital broadcasting. Where'd it go? Huh? Where? Everybody's still getting on the mic saying things like, and now, without further ado, same old, same old. What we're going to have in the next couple of weeks is what we're going to have. I really don't have any particular things set. I'm going to continue to do what people want me to do, people being the audience that writes to me and says, play some of those old shows that were so good. You want people who hadn't heard them, hear them. You know what I thought in my head? That was going to say, because the shows you do now are crap. No, it's not that. They don't say that. They say they're just some gems. And as you go through life, oh, no, not even, let's not talk about life. Well, you've got to be alive to do it. When you go through your career doing something, whether it's playing the banjo, I don't know if doctors feel this way, though, too. But, you know, you get to a point where it's like, you know, I've done my best in terms of doing. There's no reason to do more. Now, that's not true if you're a 60s rock and roll guy. You know what? Or, you know, we think the world needs another album by this group that broke up that's going to get together. I don't know. I just want to know why the Zombies came back and couldn't be popular, and The Walking Dead is what everybody watches. I'm going to be doing the show live like I do it here, and if I don't have a guest, or if I have a guest that only comes for a little bit, and then we play something else, we're going to go back into the archives. Now, you could be part of this programming by writing to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com. And I like reading your stuff, and you people know who send me whatever you send me, that I write back to you. Send you links, you send me links. Just don't wait. I know the phonies, all right? And you know what I love? I love those links they send out. The bad links, that there are still people out there doing these, you know, horrible things, sending out these links that are going to steal your computer. I don't know what they do because I never hit them, these mysterious links, but they come under the disguise of someone you know. So they've hacked someone's email and then they say, Hi, Frank. It's me, Joe. And you go, it's Joe Deniglio. Yeah, it's me, Joe Deniglio. I found something I really thought you'd like. Here's a link. It's like, yeah, if you know the people, this is what's stupid about these hackers. They think that just because you know someone, if you know someone, that you're not going to converse with them more than that. If a person never sent you a link before, or if you know a person and you get an email from this person, and this is a person you've talked to or emailed or texted or Twittered. Is it tweeted or Twittered? Then you know that a person's not just going to send you and go, hi, here's something I think you'd like. Are they? Do they? Would they? Not me. I'm not, you know, that's a big problem with me throughout my life, is thinking that other people are thinking like me. They're not. And you should, the same thing too. I'm not saying I'm the special person that nobody thinks like or thinks similarly. Happens to you too. Now people, you think things and you think people think like that. Well, you know, well, they'll figure it out, you know, it's like the five horrible words I told you my father always used to tell me when I didn't understand something he said. I'd question about what he said and he'd go, those five horrible words you never want to hear, which is this, you know what I mean. See, many times in shows have I told that story. I've told stories about my father. If you'd like to hear some stories about my father, I have shows I could find, I'm sure. And they're not well cataloged. But you know what you do? Think of a topic you'd like to hear through the consciousness of the show. And if I have a show like that, where I talk, or even if I have a guest and we talked about that, I will look for it, find it, and I will be here to tell you, here it is now. And you will, see, I didn't want to end with this. Here it is now, and I'll give it to you. So that means April the 12th, what are we doing? I don't know. April 19th, what are you doing? I don't know. April 26th, what are you doing? I don't know. There are other things we will be doing when we find it. What's this? Oh, okay. So there's that. There are a lot of other things right now, same old books. People have been asking me, they say like, you know what, they like the books. They've gone, Blurb. I keep forgetting Blurb. They go over to Blurb and they get the Molotov memoir books, right? They like that. And they go to Lulu and they get those three little, pamphlet books, chap books, I call them. It's what they used to be called. So I still call them that, the chap books. And then they go to Amazon and get the digital books that are like the novellas and the huge novel License to Skill. And they say, right, that's it. You're done with the books. Have you done? Is that it? No more funny. No more serious. No more nothing. I love that term. No more nothing. It's nothing is nothing. But that, see, there's one of those double negatives that I grew up hearing. No more nothing. That means a lot of everything. And they say to me, they write to me and I go, no, well, I'm working on some stuff. You're going to hear from me soon, I hope, about new product in literature. In fact, thinking of changing this show into, a half hour show called Projects in Literature, starring Frank Cotolo. Starring? That doesn't work on radio, does it? It works on television and theater. It doesn't work on radio. They never say, it's the Hip Barley Show starring Hip Barley. I don't even know why they did that. What's it going to be? The Hip Barley Show starring Sheldon Kornblatt? No. Look, here's what's going to happen. And I hope, I'm looking forward to talking to Marla again, because she's delightful and her and I don't see things eye to eye, but we have a lot of fun going voice to voice. And she's the one who offered. She said, my angel, an angel reading. I don't know exactly what an angel reading is in essence, but we're going to find out. And I'm going to tell you that MarlaMartinson.com is where you can get plenty of. She got her own books. Buddha told me to do it, or Buddha said I should do it. Or there's that, the one with the Buddha on there. And there's a couple of other ones. diary story of our life, the story of other people's lives, the story of whatever. But it's going to be great. Now, I admit that it, you know, I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way to get an angel reading, but she brought it up. She said she'd do it. I said, fine. I wouldn't go out of my way for this, but I like, I'll admit, liking the fact. And Manuel wouldn't let everybody do it either. But every once in a while, it's fun to do something you've never done like that in the weird land. Now, if you're in weird land, what I called weird land, okay? I mean, if you're in that area of, you know, involving yourself in the things you cannot see or hear or feel or whatever, or getting in touch with the extra spirit world, let's call it the spirit world, then, fine. But every once in a while, you pass by, I know I do. I don't know if you do. Every once in a while, I pass by down there in America, where I have a house, and I pass by this house. It's a regular house, and it's on a main drag. And the sign says palm reading, you know? So I can't, is there really a gypsy in there? For as long as I've had that house in America, I've seen that sign and the house just sits there. I'm going, well, can this person actually afford this house just being in the business of palm reading? That's all just incidental. The real thing that I think is, I wonder if I went in there and had my palm read, even though I don't believe it, what would that be like? Now, I've had weird experiences in my life, and so have you. I don't know you, or if I do know you, then I can say, yes, you have, because most of the people I know have had weird experiences. You, I'm sure, have had an experience. I've had weird experiences, and people I know who are into the spirit world things, they say, well, it's this, and they explain it to me, see, because I'm an idiot. See, I don't get it. So they explain it to me, and I go, well, that's well and fine, but I don't know that. As weird as it may be, and boy, I've had some weird ones, I look for explanations, but people tell me other things. I mean, in other words, people tell me the explanations that they can't explain. That's what I love. I love how you can't explain the things you understand. That's something that the spirit world is ineffable as far as I'm concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, this is Cthulhu Chronicles. The man whose name adorns the title of the show is me. Last week, didn't I tell you last week? Was it last week? See, I don't even think, did I write it down or throw it out? I say the name backwards? I think I've, uh-oh. No. See, I just crunch things and then I move on. But there are the books that exist now, as I change my palm reading, I don't know. As I change my subject here right now, before we get to Marla, I know she's ready. Well, you know, Marla's one of the guests who shows up like, I mean, ahead of time. A lot of guests don't do that. A lot of them call in. I say, look, I'm going to call you. And then they call in. And then this part of the show goes, well, it's already gone to hell, hasn't it? The books, yeah, why don't you go and get the books? You got your phone? You could read the books on your phone? This is weird. Imagine telling that someone a long time ago. You got a phone? Imagine, you know when you just have a dial phone? You people don't even know. A lot of you people don't know. The new people, the newer, younger people don't know. They had a phone? You know, imagine telling people in, like, let's say 1976. You say, hey, you know what you should do? Buy my book and then call this number. And you'll hear them. What are you going to do, read it? They didn't even have audio books until when? I don't remember when. I do remember getting hired back in the 80s. To do phone messages. Yes, I got paid to do phone messages. Greetings that, you know, when people aren't home, people still have phone messages. Do they? They call it voicemail. But, you know, when they had message machines, I used to do voices. And people would buy from this particular company. They would buy these greetings to put on their phone, and then, of course, it ends with, you know, leave your message and what have you. And they, you know, they give me a monster voice. I'd like to say that, you know, I can't even do it anymore as well as I did it. But, you know, just like Boris Karloff, hello, I'm here to tell you he's not home. Things like that. And they would pay me for that. Okay, that's a good way. You can't make a living, though. That's why I don't understand how the lady with the palm reading, how does she maintain a house in all these years? Anyway, those messages, I used to do those messages, okay? And so there. I don't know if that ever showed, if I did that story anywhere on my on shows. And I've only been on 20 years, so it's not going to be another 20. It's not going to be. We do know that you go get the books, you enjoy the books on your phone, on your Android tab, iTube, or whatever. I have a Samsung Android tube. I don't know what it's called. It's an iTab? Is it a tablet? It's not a phone. What is it? I don't know, but it does things, and that's what I'm going to do, I think, next week. I was thinking about that. I'm going to talk about Periscope, and I'm going to have Periscope right here. I may even get on Periscope so that you could get on with me. So remember, if you catch me on Periscope next, so if I do that, we do the Periscope show, and we'll be broadcasting, although people don't know it, and I can't get in trouble for doing that anyway. And that is that we're going to look around, see who's on around the world, who's on Periscope around the world. Because as we do this show, and at one time this was it, you know, this and some music shows, that's all you could listen to, and you didn't have podcasts or anything. You have YouTube, MyTube, ItTube, Tumblr, Facebook, nothing. And what you had to do was listen to this. Now people get on Periscope, like regularly, they do shows. Yeah, they do Periscope. Scope show, they call it Scope, of course, because why should you call something? Oh, listen to that. Static. Again, that static, that weird vibe that comes through here. Speaking of weird vibes, I'm gonna get Marla. You can't even hear it. There it goes. You hear that? Talking about a ship. And you get all those engine sounds, right? Captain to what? Captain to crew. What do they do when they get on there? Ship to shore? No, it's not even that. The point I'm trying to make here is stay with us. So much is going to happen before I don't do this anymore. I don't know when that will occur, but it will. And one more thing, if you're listening on the live stream and not on one of the other stations that run this show during the week, if you're listening on the live, those that would not be the live stream, although it sounds live, everything I do sounds live, then listen here on the live stream right after this. Savino Veritas will be here. And this guest, I've got to get Marla to go. She's got to meet Tom Savino and talk with him. Two people who astral project. Why, it's just wonderful to think, isn't it? Two people who astral, you know, it's not astro project, astral project. We're going to get Marla Martinson on the Skype. You know, you could say phone, but you know, why should I say, I'll give, you know, I'm not paying for Skype, so I will give them that much promotion, right? That's only fair. And I try to be fair. Yeah, really? Here and there. I think with people who help us, we help them. And people we don't like, we tell them about it. But well, let's get Marla and get her sound level. She's got a sound level. And then we'll go. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name joins the title of the show. So keep listening, keep reading the regular stuff, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Go to Facebook, but remember, do what I do. Lie. And I say, nothing, 87 million people. Was I one of them? Who knows? Who cares? They're looking for me somewhere crazy. They think I'm this. They think I'm that age. I got the demographics completely screwed up because from the beginning, I lied on Facebook. You want it? Go to Facebook. Go to me and look what I write. Look what's going on there. That's what you should do. That way, nobody would have gotten it. Well, nobody's getting in trouble anyway, are they? I don't know. Look, why don't we just call Marla and see how she's doing? Because I think she's doing well. Here comes some. It's a loop for Ms. Marla Martinson. Miss Mo, are you available?
Yeah. Hey.
Well, it sounded weird. There sounded like a weird connection.
Well, I think it's okay. I'm going to put in my headphones.
Yeah, do that, because I think we're getting a feedback.
Okay.
It must be those headphones. Like, I know. I don't know.
Okay. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Fine. You sound great.
Thank you. You too. Great to hear your voice, and thanks for having me back on.
Oh, well, you know, we would have done it anyway, but you made that promise, and it was so much fun to think about it, and everybody's people said to me when I told them, and other people who I know who listen said, are you really going to do that? Are you going to let her talk to an angel about you?
I did do the reading today for you, and I have it typed up, and I'll read it. And can people call in, or they can't?
No, yeah, they could, but they won't. You don't they won't. They're just, this show has really conditioned people a different way than all the phone-in talk shows. Plus the fact that I never wanted this to be a call-in show, because I did this show for a couple of years before there was even a guest.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah this has always been kind of different. But I'll tell anyone this. If you have something, everybody knows my my email, or some people who are on Skype who are connected to me, because I have a, mm-hmm. if anybody has a question, like anybody really cares what an angel thinks about me. If you do have a question or you want to talk to Marla,
I can give them a message for themselves, because I'm going to read you yours, and then they can have one for themselves.
That's going to happen. Are you going to give away all the free ones?
Sure, on the air, sure.
Well, that's really wonderful. Maybe we should do a separate show one time where you just do that.
Oh,
We will make
that. And then, of course, I can tell people, I always do this. Anybody who buys my book on Amazon, just send me the receipt, and I'll give them a free angel reading. So I always do that anyway.
I gave you, I gave your website a plug, and of course, the YouTube podcast. Is that really a podcast if it's on YouTube? They call it a podcast?
No, I have two things. I have a podcast and I have a YouTube channel.
Then they don't, because there's two things. Okay. You have a complete YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
And you've had guests, on your YouTube channel too.
Yeah. You want to be on?
I should be on you. When do you do that?
Anytime I want, because it's just recorded and I upload it. So I usually upload a couple of videos a week.
We'll have to figure that. Figure that out. But I mean, do you think I have anything to contribute?
I'm sure you do. We'll figure out a topic and talk about it.
Okay. It's always good to have I don't know. I did. There was a lady on. I went to one of those YouTube, and I'm trying to think of who was this lady. She was she was not a young lady.
Carol Howe talked about A Course in Miracles.
Miracles. Maybe that was a lady.
A Course in Miracles? That was a lady. Maybe it was Carol. Carol's maybe in her 70s. Blonde, short blonde hair.
Oh, now, you know, and believe me, it's not your broadcast. It's me. I mean, I look at all I remembered from that. It's not like I have a bad memory. Well, you should know more about me now than anything, because you've talked to now, before we do this, there's going to be I have no contest here. As far as I'm concerned, you talked to Mirtha.
Oh, you know what? Thomas did it. I have two angels, Mirth and Thomas. And Thomas is the one who came in.
Oh, is that doubting Thomas? I don't think so. Well, then there goes the headline of this that I put up. But that's okay.
That's okay.
So, Tom, I didn't know you had more than one guardian angel.
I have two. Most people have two. And I have Mirth came in first, and then Thomas had introduced himself, you know, after that in the past few years. And lately, Thomas has been coming in, and he's been given readings. So I'm like, okay, that's good. He likes to now.
Did your male guardian angel ever hit on you?
Frank.
Well, why? Is that, what do I know? I don't know anything about
it. Come on.
I don't know anything about angels. I'm a novice.
We're not recording yet, are we?
We're on the air, young lady. This is live, always live here at Cotolo Chronicles.
Are you kidding?
No, we've always been live. I don't record. Now, this will be played again on other stations next week, you know, through the week. But we're always live. This is the first live internet radio show, talk show.
You don't do any kind of intro like, "Hey everybody, it's Frank."
And I was on. I've been on since 9. People have been listening to me since 9. I get my guests at 9:30, and then we talk. And then,
I see. You're
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I mean, last time you were on, you were live.
Did I say anything stupid?
Oh, wait, is that all you're worried about is being self-conscious?
No, it's okay.
You shouldn't worry.
It's fine.
Okay, all right. Oh, I sense a change in attitude.
All right.
I want to know why, the reason I asked you that absolutely ridiculous question about Thomas is you had mirth, which is that short for like mirthalin or something?
Well, when I first connected, which I connected on a talking board with my friend Julie. She spelled out Merthyr, M-E-R-T-H-Y-R.
Uh-huh.
And we Googled it and found out it was a Welsh word meaning martyr. And I said, wow, that's really interesting. And then as time went on, she said, just call me Mirth, M-U-R-T-H. So it's Mirth.
Now, okay, so why wasn't one enough, or did like, or was Thomas like, was he, did he not have a person to guard or something? Why does another one come along?
Well, we usually do have two guardian angels, so we have two, you know, there's more than one. It's my team.
But are they two, I was just wondering, you know, I mean, is there one woman and one man? Does everybody have one woman and one man, one of each sex?
No, well, you know, they really don't have gender, but they'll come through as, you know, kind of such, because that's what we're used to. So that's what I have, how they came through. And they have different personalities.
I'm sure. I'm sure of that, because there'd be no reason to have more than one if they were the same. I would imagine I would have three, and they would be named Mo, Larry, and Curly, probably.
Oh, yeah, I see that. There's the Stooges. That's right.
Yeah, the Stoogeny. The Stoogeny. Do they find you, Guardian Angels?
They're with us when, you know, always. So in past lives, when you're born, they're there. When you die, they're going to be with you. We all have angels.
Now, the angels, as I know from literature, angels were the soldiers of heaven, and a lot of the people who attained angelship, or whatever you call it, in literature. I mean, according to the things I've read. So, what these angels are? What they're
celestial. Beings of light created by God. To their role is messengers. They're messengers of God. Described in the Bible, the angels are sent by God to help the humans. And the angels closest to us are the birth angels and our guardian angels. Then there's the higher ranked angels, the archangels, Archangel Michael, and all the archangels which you could call upon too, and they can be in more places than once. And they help us. So they have a mission, you know. Their mission is to be an intermediary between the celestial planes and the earth plane. And they're really here to help us, humanity, elevate our consciousness and move forward. And if we call upon them, they'll always come and help. But they're not just going to butt in. We have free will. So we can do anything we want in our life, but they will be there if we call on them. And so it's really beautiful. You know?
So
it's not your dead grandma. Like some people will think, my grandmother's my
You can't
angel.
Become an angel, right? There's no way.
No, because angels were never human. But, you know, you can have like I think my dad is one of my guides. One of my friend's father, who I never met, is one of my guides, and he comes through. He's become my guide. So those are guides, the people that were here on Earth as a human. And they can, and then sometimes you might have a guy that wasn't, but like I also have a native Indian that was a human, at one time, named Temuk. He's, my main guide. So you'll have those, but no, the angels were not, in human form.
Do all these figures, let's just call them figures. I don't know what else to call them. So now you're telling me about four figures, that you communicate with, these four figures that help.
Well, there's the angels I communicate with. Sometimes my dad, like I do automatic writing. So I'll channel. I'll also use, I like a focus point. So I'll use a talking board. Mm-hmm. So I've communicated with my dad, with my grandmother, with my brother, with my friend's dad, with Temuk, with some extraterrestrials might come through. A lot of different beings can come through when you open up to connect. And then I have a friend, Linda Salvin, who's a famous psychic. She's fantastic, and she lives in LA, and she's been known, you know, as a psychic doing this work for since the 80s or 90s. Uh-huh. And I'll go over to her house. We'll go out for like some Thai food or something, and then we'll go and do the talking board, and we'll connect to the other side. She's got a main guide who is a deceased musician, who was a famous musician in his time here. And he doesn't like us to say who he we know who he is, but we're anyway. So he comes through and we communicate with him, and we've been doing that for years. She's been communicating for a long time, and we keep notes. It's really fun because I have a notebook and I'll take notes, and it's fun to look back in the notebook from the few years I've been doing it with her and look at his notes, his kind of predictions, his advice. So I think that's a lot of fun to do. And anytime I do have a psychic reading with anybody, which because of my YouTube show, it's called Cosmic Conversations. Mm-hmm. So I get to interview a lot of interesting people in the spiritual world. So I'll have psychics on my show, intuitives, all this. And then a lot of them have offered me readings, you know, and then I'll keep notes. But I think one of the most fun things is to go back, you know, a year or two later and see what came true or what their advice was.
Let me ask you. I'm going to ask him more questions about this before we.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
How do you tell? How can you tell? Like for example, I'm talking with you, and you have all these connections, and you're obviously sincere about this. How do you tell a phony? How do you tell? I mean, aren't there people out there trying to? You know, connive you into thinking certain things, you know, the little mind tricks that people do to scam you or to what have you, whatever they,
whatever. Like a fake psychic or something.
Yeah. The people who want, who are doing, tell everyone, because I know there's more people who are on your side than they are on mine, in terms of all this, tell them to recognize, someone, or do you hear from your, well, suppose you don't have angels.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, I just don't know how to do it.
Well, okay. Well, this is interesting because I'm sure there are like some of these, you know, these gypsy psych card readers. You know, you'll see their neon signs in the windows, and they try to scam people.
I was talking about one before you came on. I was talking about this house that I always see with this sign for years. It's been there, and I'm wondering if a person.
Oh, it makes me so mad.
Can make a living.
And then I remember in Chicago when I lived there, like Chicago. You can hear this Chicago. I lived in Chicago in the 90s, I remember in my neighborhood down the street there was one. It was a mother and a daughter and whoever.
Well, how do you know they were fake? How did you know they were fake?
Well, listen, they come up to me. I'm walking down the street and the daughter comes. Oh, come and have a reading from my mom. She's the best, blah, or whatever. And I was like, finally she wore me down. I went, it was like $10 or something. She's reading my cards. And then she says, oh, of course, everything was bad, terrible. And she says, now I can fix it. For $500, I can order some candles. Now, these are no ordinary candles. These are from the home church in Israel. And I will burn these candles and remove all the bad luck that you have. And, you know, it's a bunch of baloney.
Oh, she's asking for you to pay.
Yeah, so it's terrible. But now, otherwise, all these wonderful people that I've met and that I've interviewed and that are really connected and they're putting their life life work into it, into healing, into giving people messages. There's some great people out there doing it. And my husband, who is a skeptic, and he doesn't believe in any of them, and he says everyone's just trying to make money, and, well, it's a nice scam they've got going to make a living. But, you know, I said, why would a perfectly educated, smart adult make up, cook up this scam and pretend to be doing this and then try to get clients? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It just, to me, it makes no sense. So I'm like, no, these people that I'm friends with, that I've interviewed, they're the real deal. So, but it, with anything, you want to be careful. Listen, there's a lot of car mechanics out there that they see a gullible woman coming, and they're going to charge you for, you know, $500 extra for stuff. Or you got to be careful with anything.
Right. Human, sure. I know that. I was just wondering, in this area.
Get referrals, you know, things like that. That's why I'm a matchmaker. I make a great living. I do a lot of things. And when I do my angel readings, you know, what do I charge? $15? Because there, I want that energy exchange, but I really, it's fun for me. It's a kick. It's, you know, something beautiful. I'm not trying to make a living at it or scam anyone.
The angels don't care either way, right? They don't care if you charge or not, or what. I mean, if they know you're authentic, they don't care. I mean, doesn't matter, right? I don't know. I'm asking.
If somebody's doing this full time, if someone's made a business, people deserve to be paid for their time. Sure. You have to make a living. Mm-hmm. You have to eat. You know, we all have to pay our bills. That's the money is the currency that we use in our society. Right. So, you know, there's nothing. I don't see anything wrong with it. But I think people should be reasonable. And, you know, there's some well-known mediums and psychics that I would love to have a reading by, but they're $800. Or, you know, I looked at James Von Prague's website. I think he's amazing, but I think his reading was $800 or something. And I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna do that. I'll call into Hay House Radio and get a free reading from him, you know. But when they get to that level where everybody wants them, you know, they've got to raise the prices so that otherwise they'd never have time to.
Here's something you just brought up something. Fascinating. Why would you consider having a reading from another person? Are they more deeply into it? Are they more connected? They have more tentacles to the spiritual world than you. Why would you, who have all these, you know, you've got guardians and these people coming directly, people I'm calling them, these figures coming directly from God, why would you even consider paying James von Schluckman or whatever his name is? Why would you even consider, suppose he was $40, you would go to him for a reading? Why would you need a reading?
I would. I think he's amazing. And he sees your, you know, dad or mom or deceased grandfather. Sometimes, you know, when we're doing it for ourselves too, you're like, is this, you know, you doubt, you question, is this real? Is this, it's just a confirmation, or they could bring some, it's kind of like a perspective, you know.
I have too many questions about everything. If I was talking to my father, which was hard enough to do when he was alive, I can imagine if you know what his spirit is like. But if I was, and by the way, I was okay, if I was doing that, then mm-hmm. and I was convinced that I was doing that and that was his spirit, I wouldn't think of to go to someone else and say, hey, you want to get in touch with my dad? Well, why would my dad tell that something them and not tell me? So, you know what I mean? This is like weird. I'm not saying you should have copyrights.
I'm fascinated by it. I love a good medium. So there's this guy in Chicago that I had a reading with because I'd interviewed him on my podcast. And then I just thought he was, I had not yet. I heard him on somebody else's podcast and this guy was so good, but I went ahead and had a half hour of reading with him, and he said, your dad, you wear a ring of your dad's? And I said, yes. And he says, oh, well, that's very unusual. So some of the things that these people would say that was so right on, it's still, it blows me away. I'm impressed. I'm fascinated. I love it. It's fun. Now, I don't go nuts. I don't do it a lot because what are you going to know, really? I mean, at this point, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself. So what do people go to a psychic for? Usually it's they want to know if they're going to get a job or make some money or meet their soulmate or if they're, you know, miserable or need something, some issue or problem. So I'm already married. I have a great career. My health is good. So really, I mean, I'm not going to be spending money on readings because what do I need to know? But it's fun. Like when my girlfriend Susanna comes over to my house, she's an amazing card reader and she's a healer. So she'll come over every couple of months and it'll be like on a full moon or you know, in the evening. And I'll set up my healing table and all the candles and I give her a wonderful Reiki healing. And then I channel the angels and give her a message. And then she reads the cards and gives me a message. And does some healing, and it's just an amazing, magical night. So you know, a lot of times you want that other perspective or some messages that might come through to somebody. I think it's fun. It's something fun for me.
What is the beverage of choice on an evening like that? Just like crystal clear water or something? I mean, you can't.
Oh, I make green juice for.
Okay,
us.
Yeah, green tea, juice. Yeah. Green tea and stuff.
You don't want to be drinking alcohol. I don't drink much alcohol anyway, but you don't want to drink alcohol and try to connect with spirits. It's not a good idea.
There's no such thing as a drunk spirit.
Spirits. Which spirits? Vodka or?
Well, I don't know. What do they do? They don't eat, do they? I mean, are there angel restaurants or something? I mean,
I thought you meant my own beverage.
Well, no, I do. I meant like a medium and a reader and two people get together who have various talents. You just do.
I usually make us a nice green juice or some hot tea.
Now, if anybody out there wanted to angels are assigned or they come to you. What I'm trying to say is this, and I am dead serious about this, and I hate to use the word dead. And that is, how can I find an angel? Where's my angel? We all have an angel, and we just have to find
right here, standing right next to you. Do you want to hear your reading, your message? Now?
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's do that, and then we could talk about that and more stuff about angels. This is Marla Martinson, everyone listening on the live stream or on the rebroadcasting live or lifelike. That's what we call them, live or lifelike. And you can go to Marla Martinson. That's an ENSON, Mart, ENSON .com. And books, her books are things or services. And if you're a rich guy, she'll get you a really great rich girl. Wait a second. No, you don't necessarily get people of the same ilk, do you? In your matchmaking?
Well, my clients tend to be the professional men, so CEOs of companies, doctors, lawyers, busy guys, and
they're not looking for CEOs.
Beautiful women. The guys are visual, so yes, the ladies are attractive, but they've got the whole package, and they're all single, looking for love and marriage. So that's what I do. I'm just saying they're not. Huh? I've got my bow and arrow here. I'm a real life Cupid.
Yes, she is. She's a boutique. I love that term, boutique matchmaker.
Yeah.
And now, from Thomas the Angel, I am all ears, Tom. Can I call him Tom? Or I like Thomas. Sure. I'll call him Thomas. No, I'll call him Thomas.
All right.
From Thomas. Now, you're going to tell me what you asked?
So what I do is I didn't ask anything because you didn't ask me to hone in on it.
Well, give us the process, though. Yeah.
General message.
Explain the process, though, to everybody.
So you guys, if anybody does buy one of my books, I've got amazing memoirs. The Buddha Made Me Do It, or Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker on Amazon. If you do purchase one of them, you can send me your proof, you know, your receipt, email it to me, MarlaMartinson@mac.com. It's on my website, and I will give you a free angel reading.
There you go.
So what happens, or you could just go order an angel reading, $15. But anyway, so what I do is I will meditate. So I was meditating, and then I went on my talking board and I talked a little bit. I said, who wants to come in and give Frank a message? And then he Thomas came in and said,
they didn't argue, right? They didn't argue over who was, did they? I guess there's four of them. Three of them ran away.
So he says, I want to give Frank a message. And then I said, okay. And I said, should I go do it? And he goes, let's go do it. So I go to my computer and I open up a Word document. I put my hands on the keys and I just kind of get out of the way, get my brain out of the way, and I let it flow through. And I type real fast, mm-hmm. And then I go back and I fix my typos so that I can, you know, either send it in an email. So then if you had ordered this from me or we weren't going to talk, I would email it to you.
So Thomas is talking through you, typing through you, right?
Right. I'm typing it. I hear it and I type it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Hello, Frank. I am so pleased to be here with you tonight on your show. I am here with Marla now transmitting a message for you. Just a while ago, she asked for a beautiful angel message for you, and she will share on your show.
Yes.
Know that you are led by angels and supported by God and the spirits. We have your back and watch over you. Know that you may ask us at any moment in time for help and assistance. Have faith that we are here beside you. Lovely to know that, isn't it? Last night I was thinking of you, knowing that Marla would be with you this evening. I now want to share with you your destiny, just as all the creative forces on this earth plane. Okay, I now want to share with you your destiny.
Destiny.
Just as all the creative forces on this earth plane, you are among the amazing creative creatures called man. Know that anything that you wish to create can be created. Have the knowing and faith that it will be done. Just put your mind and shoulder to the grindstone, as you say. Only those beings that do not take action and are lazy do not see results. When you take action and do the things you love to do, well, that is where you are really cooking, my friend. Go ahead and start the new project. Start a new project. Sometimes you get overwhelmed and think you have no time. You have some bright ideas that are just at the surface, but you have put them off because of time constraints. I'm here to tell you that now is the time. Frank, now is the time to unroll those amazing gifts and go for it. Time and age have no bearing. Do not let society dictate what you attempt or try. Just as the flower unfurls its petals and leaves, so too does man unfurl his gifts like the ray of sun setting upon this beautiful green earth. Go ahead and shine your rays of light. Please do not dim those rays. People need your light and playfulness. Your energy and sense of humor make people laugh, and it is much needed. People tune into your show to hear your warm personality, your frankness, pardon the pun, and your brilliant insights. You are a curious person with lots to share. We love that you ask the big questions, and don't let others deter you from your mission. Stay on the path, my friend. Just have that courage and love yourself. Go ahead and share that love. Shine bright, and we will be with you again. Many blessings to you, my dear Frank. Love, Angel Thomas.
Well, Thomas has sent a very positive message, and I'll tell you what I got out of it, okay?
Okay,
Thomas is sending me a message telling me that I'm okay, and my destiny, or what I'm supposed to do, I imagine that's how I'm defining that for him. What I'm supposed to do is to take action. Don't sit back, and say I don't have any time for those ideas or whatever. Just do things okay?
Do things because you're very talented and you have amazing creative ideas.
So he's right about that, because I am an action person. I have more ideas than I can ever deal with, and I choose the ones that I'm going to perform or work on, and that's where I put my energy. I just trust that the ones I want to are the ones that are best. I can do best. See?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's how I deal with that, Thomas. And the thing about work. Now, I've learned an interesting thing. I hate the word interesting. I've learned an important thing about myself over through the years. And I don't know if Thomas thinks this is wrong or not, but he's given a very generic message about work at it, really, really get your nose to the grindstone, and, you know, all that very, that's stuff that I've been told all my life, okay? But it's nothing that ever worked for me. And, I'm not a worker. I don't know what this has to do with. And Thomas, if you're listening, just take all this in too. Okay. And that is that I do best what I can do, quickly and enjoy doing. I don't work at anything I enjoy doing. If it starts feeling like what I define as work, I don't want to do it. I lose interest.
Yeah. He's saying that, you know, anything that you wish to create can be created. So
that falls into that.
Right.
Now, I'm lifted by the fact that he says that, I mean, I don't know how angels can have sexes. Why would they have sexes anyway? Shouldn't they be like Andromeda?
Yeah, shouldn't they be? But they do. But for us, word. because we're always, we are in that. They come that way, but they're not. They really don't.
They're not androgynous. They're androgynous, really.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The people needing, this is something I don't understand and never did, and I constantly make fun of it, what have you. There's people need, I wrote this down, need my light and playfulness. They need my light and playfulness.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a conflict all my life. This particular thing, because people shy, have always shied, and the more I have become myself, the more people have shied away from me, because I threaten people by being too open and being this light. People don't want this, a lot of this. So what I'm saying to you is that I have a problem with other being myself with most other people.
Well, so for example, your show, you're very light, you're playful, you're humorous, you make people laugh, your warm personality, your insights, and people need that, and that's why they tune into shows like yours, that's why they tune into shows like mine, and many others, because in this heavy, heavy world where we have so much conflict and so much bad news and war and despair, people were looking for that. So you and I do share some lightness, we share some fun, and that's what they need it. People need it. We all need it. And so I think the angels just want to encourage you to continue with that wonderful path that you're on, and know that if there are other things that you have in mind that you want to bring out, just go ahead and do it, because it's going to be well received, and you have the talent and the energy to do it. And people love it, need it, and appreciate it, and that's what you're here for. You are here to uplift people. You're here to shine that light.
I don't consider that a burden. I consider that that's an amazing comment to make about me, I think, but I can't be in touch with myself to that extent. I love the fact that I was called a curious person, because I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that people would say if they could use that word to its full impact, curious. I am a curious person. Not that I'm curious and I have to do things or think things or stuff, but to normal people, I'm pretty curious.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, curious that you want to know, you want to learn, you want to find out about different things. You're curious about, not curious like weird, curious in the fact.
Well, I think it might, I think this definition might go deeper than just me personally being curious. but of course I am, I didn't want to do this necessarily to talk about me, but to help people understand that. Now, about that, you know, they could do it. They could do it too. I wonder, now can you can't ask, could I now, cause he said in the beginning, okay, now that I've connected or you've connected, I can connect, right? Is that it? Can I sit down at my computer now and, not now, I mean later, and just sit there and clear my minds, and then stuff will come out, and Thomas will be, if I ask him a question, Thomas will go, here, do, the, well, he's, guiding is to do. He's not going to tell you what to do, right? He doesn't tell you what to do.
No, they never tell me what to do. The only time they tell me what to do is maybe it's late and I'm on the board and they say, you need to get some rest, go to bed, and we can talk tomorrow. That's it. They don't tell you what to do. But if I say, you know, give me some guidance or something, or it's mostly uplifting things. Now, sometimes somebody will want me to say, you know, oh, what do you see for me for work, or what do you see for me for love? But it's not really about, so what I do is not really about predictions. It's not really like psychic predictions, or what do you call it? It's more about what you need to know right now, and it's uplifting. It's letting you know they're there. Sometimes they will come in and say to somebody, oh, you know, your cat really likes it when you do this or that, or, you know, I don't know these people, and they're like, yeah, my cat does do that, or, you know, they'll come in with some real specific things. But mostly it's like, let's say somebody says, you know, do you see love for me? Is somebody coming, my soulmate? And then they'll say, well, you know, you need to love yourself more, or you need to, you know, drink more water. You need to get some more nutrition, some rest, some uplifting, some. So they always want us to be working on ourselves. And even as a matchmaker, so people, because that's often, you know, the two big questions is work and love. And when we love ourselves, so our real soulmate is ourself. We think it's somebody outside ourselves that's going to make us so happy and that's going to change our life and make it all better and solve our problems or be with us. But it's really once we are really aligned with ourselves and love ourselves and treat ourselves with love and respect, that's when our vibration raises. That's when people want to be around us, and that's when the right person will come in. So, you know, you can see a lot of people will keep attracting or be attracted to that same type of person, the drama, the bad relationship, the cheaters, the bad boys, or whatever. And that's a common thing where we say, oh, geez, I'm with a different, you know, person. They're just in a different pair of pants. You know, it's the same guy, same girl. So it's working on ourselves, and that's something in our quick fix society, some people aren't willing to do, but we will put in that work to heal ourselves, to love ourselves. Things just will show up, follow.
How much can you rely? Let's go back to what I asked before. How would I get Thomas, or Thomas would give a reference to someone that, I mean, how do I get?
You have to connect with your own guides, your own angels.
How do I find them?
Do you ever meditate?
I used to meditate a lot. I used to do yoga, used to do meditation. I have.
Yeah. You want to raise your vibration. It's raising they're at a very high frequency, the angels and the guides. So do anything you can to raise your vibration, whether it's a combination of things like eating clean, your diet, meditation, some yoga, dancing, being quiet, not having drama. And then you can try to tune in, and you can either go on a talking board, or you can sit and do the automatic writing. So you sit at either with a pen in your hand, or I like my keyboard because now writing with a pen, it hurts my hand. We haven't written with a pen for 20 years, you know, so it cramps me up. So I just sit and sit, be quiet and see what you hear, see what comes through and type it out. It's a process. It took me like 8 months to be able to connect on my own to my angels and guides because my energy wasn't right. But also this helps. So getting energetic attunements, so maybe attuned to Reiki and energetic attunements that you can get from people, from masters or from Reiki masters. And I think that's what ultimately did it for me was those, once I became a Reiki practitioner and was attuned, and then I had some other attunements from some healers.
So
that helped a lot. And I can feel it. I can feel the energy at my crown. I can feel it, and I can feel energy swirling like on my leg and my back and just opening up. And I never could feel that before I started doing all this work.
So this is why a lot of people don't connect, because you have to be, what you're telling me is you have to be in a certain state. Otherwise, the angels are not going to help you.
Oh, that doesn't mean they won't help us. We all have angels. We can call on them and ask for help. But that just means you might not be able to hear them or.
Well, why do we have to be on a certain level? I mean, if the ones who are really in trouble or really have questions about themselves and life, you know, when if they're desperate about these things and they're not self-confident and they have no self, well, those people should have an easier way to get to them. I mean, do we have to have a certain kind of cleansing? Because what you're saying to me translates as, if you have this cleansing, if you cleanse yourself, then you will be eligible to connect. Your vibration will be eligible to connect, which means that if I'm really in deep trouble, I'm not going to go through all that stuff. I'm just going to collapse, and then the angels are going to do nothing.
No, you're kind of getting it a little wrong there. So not the angels
straighten
won't
me
do
out.
Anything. I'm just talking about if you want to get messages and type them out.
I want to talk to my angel.
So we're all on a frequency, right? So mm-hmm. The angelic realm is in the seventh dimension. So we're in 3D, third dimension, and they're a very high frequency. And so is spirits. So spirits high frequency. So we have to get our frequency up to that level. They have to bring it down to meet. So that's what it is. I'm just telling you some ways to raise your frequency. Right. I mean, you don't have to go on a cleanse. But hey, there are some people I know that have been connected since birth, or their pineal gland is open, their third eye is open, they connect, they're already psychic. Somebody like me, for whatever reason, I wasn't. So I tried to do things. I tried to raise my frequency. I tried to get that energy
there's always, open. There's always a catch. I mean, there's always a catch. I'm like,
we're in a human body. We're in a dense place here. It's
look, I know some of this stuff sounds lame, but it's just because I just have a certain need for understanding. I'm a curious person.
I know, me too. Hey, I'm still learning too about all this, everything.
So why can't, if this is the way I ask it, God has created these angels to help. You said that's their messages. They come, they're
messengers.
Out. They're messengers. Yeah. Okay. But God also said, now look, guys, gal, whatever, you angels. Let's call them angels. Look, he said, you work on the seventh dimension with three dimensions. There are three dimensions down there. They're just puny little things. You're seventh dimension. So you're not going to be able to get in touch with any of these people who aren't, haven't gotten themselves up to snuff and got their vibrations going. And then the angels are going, well, can't you fix that? You're God. Why can't I just go down and talk to somebody if they need help? And God said, no, they have to be, at a certain vibration. And if they don't want to do it, then the hell with them. I mean, this is the way, I don't understand this. It's just like way.
Hey, Frank, I think you should do a stand-up comedy act about it.
is this way past my consciousness? I'm not criticizing it. I'm just asking questions that the conscious mind would ask. And maybe I'm too scientific. I just don't understand. As we talked about last time, I don't understand why there are all these conditions, for help. If God can create all these wonderful beings, why can't he make it easy, to get to people? Or is it because there are conflicting forces?
Well, it's that we're in this 3D and we're in this body. That's all. It's just frequency, but they're there. You can talk to them. Maybe you're gonna hear it, Frank. Give it a try. I don't call the shots. I can't. I don't
I know, but I I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying that I'd like the answer. I'd like some answers. I want some answers there.
Yeah, I just told you. Work on your frequency, clear your chakras, do some meditation, get yourself clean of the chemicals or GMOs and all that. Kind of get your frequency high and jump up and down on your rebounder.
Well, I got that. That's what I'm saying is that there's all those conditions.
These are all good things. Hey, these are good things for people to do.
Well, yeah, I understand. Okay, I don't know how to go any further with any of that stuff. The thing is that I want to. Well, I'm gonna see if I could find a frequency in my regular life. Mm-hmm. And if Thomas or maybe one of his apprentices, I mean, maybe someone.
Your own angels.
It's what?
All right. You want me to channel a little and see what they're saying to you about
yes,
this?
Yes, I do. Yes. If you're my connection, for God's sakes, mm-hmm. help me out here. You know?
Frank, we hear you. Don't worry about that. You are a very funny guy. We do not take this lightly. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and ask your angels to connect in your dreams, and nighttime is the time you can connect most easily. Mm. Why, you ask? Because the veil is thin and you humans leave your body at night. There, on that plane, we can connect much easier.
Okay.
When you are in a dense third dimensional body, you are like a sack of potatoes, dense and heavy. Lighten up, my friend. We will answer your call. Oh, that was good.
That's good, because I have a friend who firmly believes and always believed, and he and I joust over this, that when you have dreams and you hear voices of people who have influenced you, important people in your life, past or not, whatever, usually past, that it's really their voices.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that because he believes it, you know. And I've told him about things. And before you came on, I was telling people, and they know this because they've listened to me for way too long, that I've had spiritual experiences in my life. I've had unexplainable experiences in my dreams and in life and with people who are so or said or are connected or more thoroughly connected to the spiritual world than am I. And I look at those things and I don't take them as a, I hate to use the word believe, because believe and faith comes into it and then it just, everything falls apart as far as I'm concerned. So I don't know what to do. So it's like, I kind of sit, you know what I mean? I kind of become an agnostic. I kind of sit in the middle here and go like, well, if that was, I'm not going to say it wasn't someone from the dead, but if it was, let's see what it means, you know, or whatever. Because I, you know, never get, the explanation that I'm going to say this, I feel I deserve, but this is wonderful. At night, he's telling me, or they're telling me that at night, when I'm less of a walking bag of potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and not weighed down by life, because all day that's what happens, right? And in our skin and bones, we're just weighed down.
Our mind is busy and all that. Yeah.
So when we decide to give up the consciousness we know, which is daily living, when we do that, then we go into deeper parts of our brain. These guys are, then you can connect. Then I am, Then my vibrations are working and they can pick it up?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it was last night I had like a lucid dream. I'll have these lucid dreams sometimes when you're asleep, but you're telling yourself, oh, I think this is real and not a dream. It was weird. I could feel, you really feel what's going on so strong. And it seems like your eyes are open and you're looking at something it feels like it's real. But then when you wake up, you realize, oh, well, it wasn't really here, but it was not a dream either. That's what's a lucid dream. Like you're aware
mm-hmm.
of your dreaming, but you think it's real. So like last night I had one where I saw this, what do you call it? A wheel. You sit in a chair and the wheel goes around, a Ferris wheel. I saw this big Ferris wheel and then I could feel the vibration in my brain, like this zapping. Sometimes I'll get this zapping because I think somebody's trying to connect. And then I saw this UFO that was like square and it was going up. And then something was, this ball of light or something was in my hand. And I swore I was looking at it. I could only open one eye. But then afterwards, I'm like, well, my eyes were closed. This was just in my, I don't know, in some other plane. You just feel like it's in some other plane. And then sometimes you'll feel because we do leave the body. And when we're sleeping and we're floating out there, sometimes I can feel myself floating out there. And sometimes I know that I'm connecting. And then other times you just, you don't. But think about it when we're dreaming. Isn't it amazing? Like there's this whole life, like everything feels so real. You can see, you can feel, you talk to people. I used to ask me and my dad used to have this conversation, like, because you'll have these people in your dreams that you don't know who the hell they are. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like you see, like you're in a crowd or you're somewhere in your dream, you're at, and you see all these people, these faces, and I'm like, who are these people? Do you think they're, and I said, do you think they're people that we've just seen walking around all our life and get recorded in our brain? Or, and then my dad said, maybe they're people from past lives, you know, so. If that's interesting too, because we're interacting with these people that we don't even know in our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And we see their face, we see their voice, everything. I think it's fascinating.
I've had a run of just a couple of, more than a month now, where I'm remembering so many dreams. I mean, having adventures and adventures in the subconscious every night, like two at a time, two a night or whatever. Weird things happening, and they're very, explicit. And what's amazing about it, of course, is that I do remember them very clearly. So many of them. I mean, cause, you know, the mind's always working. All sorts of stuff is going on in there. I've been, paying attention to them. Oh my, no. I still can't endure. I don't know what the earth they have to do with my everyday life. But,
do you ever get that feeling all of a sudden you're in bed and you're sleeping and then you feel like you just fell or tripped?
When I'm in bed?
Yeah, you're sleeping like...
Oh, yeah, I have had that.
Right. So I think that's our body coming back in, our spirit coming back into the body, like crashing down in, and you're like, it feels like you just fell, or you just...
Yeah, tripped. Well, how can you be in touch with yourself when you leave?
Well, you might not, but yeah. You could sometimes feel when you come back
in. What do they do? What does it do? It go, you know, I have a friend who does, or another friend, he's... My old partner in radio and music and what have you a long time ago. And he does a show and I got to connect you with him because he is so into the Reiki and the all.
Oh, yeah.
And he taught meditation for a while and he knows all the, all the Indian things. And but I got to get you in touch with him. You should be on his show.
What's his name?
Tom Savino. He does a show called Savino Veritas, which live, follows me live. On the live station, and you could go. I'll tell you what you do. I'll get you.
I'll Google him, and you can connect me. It's very
yeah. I'll connect you. Okay, but he told me when we were in college, we were going to college together, and he talked about his astral projection trip, and he saw himself and knew where he was going. And he was now you're saying like when you if I felt I was tripping. Tripping, you know what I mean. While I'm asleep, that was my spirit coming back into my body.
Well, it could be. I mean, I've thought about it. I'm like, why did I feel like I just tripped? And,
see, that's
you jerked. You're like, oh my God.
You just brought up a thing that's like really great. I mean, that is like, if that's it, that's great. At least that's a possibility. It's like science is theories, right? It's like, well, here's a possibility. Maybe when we do that, that's, oh, okay, fine. As opposed to just have faith and believe it and get the hell out of here, you know? So that's great. Well,
something's happening. Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, I do. I have astral travel. You know,
but if I get that feeling of tripping and everything, and I am astral traveling, why am I not? This is what I ask him. I said, well, if I am doing it, why don't I see myself? Why don't I know what's going on? Or I just hear myself coming back. Let's say that's true or what have you. Somehow we get back in. And that is, how do you know? And what happens when people don't, when the spirit, is there a time when the spirit can't get back in? Is that death?
No, we can get back in.
It's always get back in. You can always get back in. Okay.
So and, then. Don't worry about that. But,
worry about it. I don't know how to leave.
We're leaving, you know, and doing things at night. You know, maybe we're going healing people or we're going doing work and stuff, but we have to sleep. You know, the body's sleeping and we're out there working. And what about those dreams? Like I used to be a waitress for years and I'd have these dreams that I was waiting on these tables and then I forgot to bring them a drink and I forgot the check and, I'm like, I wake up, I'm more exhausted than when I went to bed because I was working all night, you know.
You went to work? Your astral projection self went to work?
I was in my dream. I was waiting on tables. I was exhausted when I woke up.
There are dreams you have where you wake up. And it is true. We know this. I think we know this. I've heard this from people, and dreams, of course, aside from psychologically and, you know, looking into how, you know, Freudian psychology, you really can't, you know, you can't prove anything ultimately scientifically, right? But it is said, and everybody has had similar experiences. That's how they come up with these theories. So you can't die. How many times have you had a dream where you were like, it's going to, right? It's going to happen, or you fall, or that, and you always wake up.
Yeah, you never hit the ground.
Of course, you don't know if people, we don't know, because if the people had a dream like that and they did die, well, how would we know?
Yeah.
So, see, that kind of stuff bothers me. Marla, Miss Marla, what do they call you as a, well, you're not a medium, but what do they call you as a, is it just Miss Marla, or are you just Marla, or what?
I'm just Marla, I'm just me, okay. Marla. No, don't call me Miss Marla, that sounds like one of those gypsy card readers.
No. Yeah, or a dominatrix.
No.
Don't they use that too?
I'm just me, but I am very woo-woo, as you would say. You know, I'm very, I love the esoteric. I like the paranormal. I like the magic in life. But I'm very practical and grounded too, of course. But I really do love thinking about all the possibilities and the magic and the unknown. It's a great interest.
So the only difference between you and I, aside from the fact that you've worked up the vibration to connect, is that you don't have the questions, or you get your questions answered because it happens to you, or you're conscious that
I ponder, you know, the universe too. Like, is there, it never ends, and when did it start, and how does this work, and the Akashic records, and I mean, there's so much that could boggle the mind that I guess we're not going to know until we cross to the other side.
Well, doing this, there's something. What do we know? When you say you guess, and that's true, we guess, we don't going to know. Okay, so let's say there's another side, for sake of any argument, because who wants to have that argument, right?
Well, science has proven there are other dimensions. It's not just this dimension. So that's, science has proven that there are other dimensions.
In what respect? Well, let's say there are. I just want to get this through in the middle.
Okay. Yeah, right, go ahead.
We don't want to go into that. Maybe we do, you got to ask yourself. You know what you ask yourself? When you cross over, do you? You said we won't know, right? That's like what we're suggesting. You're suggesting, I guess we won't know these until we cross over. So going over there, suddenly you are imbued with all of the answers to all of the questions. Do you think that?
Well, look, there's been like Raymond Moody, you know, he studied all of for years and years and years, they're called near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. So when somebody dies, so we have a lot of documentation of people who have reported. And then, for instance, Anita Morjani. If you know who Anita Morjani is?
No.
She's a woman who, I think it's been 12 years ago, maybe. She's culturally Indian, but living in, Hong Kong. And she developed cancer, and she had a life where she was always trying to please. She was like a doormat. Her father had an arranged marriage for her. She ran away from the wedding because she wanted to pick her own husband. And so she had a lot of stress, a lot of things in her life that eventually she had cancer. And she had cancer so bad that she was on her deathbed. She had like huge orange-sized tumors all over her body, She was completely, her organs were all shutting down. I mean, she was in a coma. She was like 86 pounds or whatever. She was, you know, nobody comes back from this. She's basically dead. So she dies. She goes out of her body, goes to the other side, near-death experience. And then she finds out when she's there, then she saw her father there. She saw her best friend. She could see the doctors, what they were doing and talking about, her husband. And she could see the whole reason for everything, how life is, and the reason she got cancer, which was because she didn't love herself, because she was trying to shrink, all these things. She wrote a wonderful book called Dying to Be Me. And then she came back into her body, woke up from the coma. Within days, I mean, all the tumors were gone. I think she was out of the hospital in a month or two, and completely recovered. The doctor said, this is not possible, an absolute, you know, miracle. And Wayne Dyer found her story, that she had been on some forums talking about near-death experiences with some other near-death experiencers, and he got her published by Hay House, and she speaks all over the world. She has a radio show on Hay House. So people like Anita, who've been to the other side and found out all these things, and then they're teaching us. So there really has. I mean, but then somebody like my husband would say, well, she could just be making that up, or it's just a fantasy. Or so I believe that they really did go there and come back and have things to say. And you know, but that's up to each individual to believe that. I totally believe her. And so we do have a lot of data from those kind of experiences.
Okay, I don't want to take the other side on that, because I'd have questions about that too. But when you say what was documented, the big orange tumors left?
Oh yeah, all the tumors left. She completely recovered, and documented also that the fact that she repeated conversations that the doctors had, that she could, mm-hmm. things that were going on where her brother was traveling and all that. Because she could see that from when she was on the other side.
Now something like this happens, and what the medical industry? I mean, this should be like such gigantic news, shouldn't it? Someone is on the deathbed with and you could see physically this person's mm-hmm. on their way out. You said nobody comes back from this, okay?
No,
and then what? She technically flatlines and then came back. Or did she?
Daniel Brinkley, who's another one who died three times, he did flatline for 30 minutes and he came back. But it is in the news. Go on YouTube and Google. You can see some, like Anita Morjani was on Dr. Oz's show. There was other news reports on her. She's
I can only assume then that the medical industry mm-hmm. is not accepting this as any kind of scientific, they're not accepting it. Because you don't hear, I mean, if there is something to do, this person had some connection to do something like that, cure the cancer, wouldn't the medical industry, wouldn't everyone want to know, what did you do? Because if I get into that situation, by golly, I want out too. I'd like to come back. And if I get tumors or whatever, I want to come back. Everyone would be in.
It wasn't anything that anybody did. It was what happened, what Anita says. She realized.
Yeah, but people saw. But you said people saw that she was physically dying and giant tumors, and then suddenly she comes back.
They can't believe it. Nobody could believe it.
Why would anyone bury this?
It's not buried. Go Google it. She's all over the place.
And
buried.
Are there pictures?
But it's interesting because she said that she has a YouTube channel. She talks about it all the time, and she's
Let's
been
spell,
on show.
Okay. Here, so spell it. Can you spell her name?
I want to know. Go ahead.
I want to know. Give me her name again and spell it. I want to know who. I want to look into this. What's her name?
Anita. Morjani.
Okay. Wait.
Anita. A N I T A.
Mm-hmm.
Morjani. Anita Morjani.
Okay, I'm going to...
Look up Danion. D-A-N-N-I-O-N. Danion Brinkley.
Brinkley, like in David Brinkley?
Yeah, B-R-I-N-K-L-E-Y. Danion Brinkley. And he had, I think, three near-death experiences. Then I interviewed an amazing guy on my YouTube channel. It's the last video I put up, and that's Michael Tamora. He had three... He died three times.
Oh, he sounds familiar. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Michael?
Mike Tamura, T-A-M-U-R-A.
Tomorrow.
I just interviewed him about that.
Tomorrow, I love you.
He's a Japanese-American guy. Yeah. And,
okay, that's
amazing.
I'll handle it.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of them out, a lot of near-death experiences.
I just wonder how these...
It was so interesting because the other day on Anita's show, I listened to it on Hay House. It's fantastic. She said that one of the doctors that she was working with, believe it or something. But then when she talked to a retired doctor, he said, well, no, he could not admit that because he would be ostracized from the medical community, you know, because it's still, the medical community is still very, you know, they're not woo-woo. Everything has to be scientific and proven and all of that. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think that what this, if this stuff is absolute, and these people are not, for some reason or another, just special people touched by some special thing, and that's going to be it. Nobody can do this. But this is the kind of, the medical industry would just, they wouldn't even investigate it. They wouldn't know anything because they are indeed an industry and a business, and they don't want to believe they're not wanted. Or need it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that these people are doing on purpose. It happened to them, and
Well, a good scientist. Well, you know, I mean, there was a time when, you know, somebody swallowed something, and then maybe people thought it disappeared because they didn't know much about the human anatomy, and nobody looked in their feces to find out that they passed it. So, I mean, at that level of intelligence, which is not a very high level because man did not know everything, but someone had to say, hey, wait a second, why don't we look in the returns and see if it went through? So what I'm saying is, aren't there medical doctors going, oh boy, there was a guy who wrote a book about going, he died, and he was a brain surgeon or whatever, and
Dr. Evan Alexander, yeah. Yes.
He didn't believe any of this, anything at all. He was just a guy, and he came back, and he said, holy Christmas, I saw it all. I'm there. I'm okay.
And
I'm
he talks about it all the time. And Dr. Raymond Moody, so he's the most famous near-death researcher. He recorded and compared the experiences of 150 people who had died or almost died and then they recovered. And he wrote a book, the best-selling book, Life After Life. That was back in 1975, and he's still around. So he spent his life recording people's experiences.
I just thought of a great idea for a play. Because, you know, for idiots like me, who would find it? I would find it amusing when they do die, you know, someone goes over there, they go back and they went like, when this happened the first time, I realized all the stuff that's going on. And so I wasn't scared when I realized I was going to die. But, let me ask a question, but why did I die at all? And then they have to get the answer because they're on the other side, and whoever it is who would supply them with the information that is only available when you go over there, even if you do believe, right, they would have to say things like, well, there was that one day in Istanbul.
You remember that movie where George Burns played God? Remember?
Well, that book, Larry Gelbart. Larry Gelbart book made an awful lot of sense, and there's a lot of things in there that are just very good for, people. And it too did not come close to the explanation. I always felt like John Denver, except I couldn't build my own airplanes. But I always felt like John Denver in that movie because it was like, you know, why? There was still no answer there. You know, God gave the answers. That was a good approach to it, but it wasn't that wasn't really a comedy.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm saying that there must be reasons why it happens at all. I don't, you know, I guess we're just too feeble. Walking bags of potatoes, that in essence, this is us, you know, it's like, that's it.
We're supposed to have our human experience, so just enjoy yourself here and, you know, we'll be dead soon enough, right?
Yeah, I like that's for darn sure. This is Marla Martinson, and she's always on time when you have her on a show. And you know what? What's amazing is you didn't even know it was live and you were on time.
No, I didn't. She didn't know. We were chatting first before. So.
That's wild because you know how many people know that it's live, and I'm going, where are they? Where? What? You know, or they call up like 20 minutes early. I said, geez, I told you I would call you. Not that I mind, but it's like, you know, don't you get it? And here, And she's here, and she's
I'm very punctual.
Yeah, not just that. You remain available. We're still talking, and the show's not over, and we're still talking. Can you stay till the end of the show?
I can stay as long as people are, you know, enjoying the chat. I'm enjoying it.
I'm sure they're enjoying it because I know they're enjoying it because I know a lot of people, I know a lot of listeners are apt to have, in the experiencing in this. We've all had experiences. We know that how we interpret them or what we do.
You ask would be able to tell you something that happened or, you know.
That's strange and unexplainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's how we explain it that separates us from one another.
You know what, my dog, I have the most amazing dog, and she sits, I work from home, so we're always together, and she sits, you know, whatever, on the little sofa next to me, or, and she'll often, I see her looking, she's not looking in my eyes, she's looking right past me, like above my shoulder, or she starts looking up in above, up to the ceiling, and looking over, like I know she's seen angels or guides or something, because she's just staring at them like she's looking at something.
So if you don't connect with them, you said you're see, this is how I think. It's probably because I just got too much going on at one time in my head. You said, well, your angel's like right there.
Yeah.
Right? My angel's right here. And this guy or this, let's just call him a guy I'd rather it be a girl, but let's, you know, this girl is sitting there going, come on. She's yelling at me and I can't hear right. Get the right tune in. Because I'm not talking to her, but she's always here. She must be complaining back to the source. She must be complaining back to God and say, you know, she must be going like, can you give me somebody who's in tune? I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, somebody who doesn't make me just sit here and somebody who's talking.
I do nothing. 24/7. She's going. Or maybe is she able to send messages, that I don't know is coming from her? Hey, is that possible? If you're not in tune, can it creep in there? Like you said, like in a dream or something? And then I have to interpret it.
Or your intuition, sometimes you just know, you know, like, oh, I better get out of this place. You get these ideas, these hunches,
they're not even yours. They're coming from from above, those things you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we are sad. We're worse than bags of potatoes. If we don't have any.
No, I just said bags of potatoes just to make a
It's a good one. That's why I'm using it. It's a good one.
Like I always say, my dog, she's not fat at all or anything, but she has this heaviness. I say, you feel like a sack of potatoes. She's just like heavy, you know.
So dog's looking up. So you think animals are very much in tune?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So
I mean, look how the animals—they know when there's an earthquake or there's going to be a tsunami. They start running for the hills.
That's been proven. Yeah, they're very sensitive.
Right?
They're sensitive, but not really sensitive because their hearing is better and because they're always on the ground. I mean, we're not always on the ground, so we don't really. When we feel an earthquake, yeah, I mean, they'd feel it beforehand because they're on the ground and they get
the
vibrations.
We're just standing up. I mean, there's we're top high from the ground or elephants.
But we need more.
We've got,
their senses are heightened, right?
They're in the moment. This is what we can learn from animals.
Yes.
I learned so much from my dog. She's in the moment. She's not worried about what she's going to do tomorrow, how she's going to pay the bills, who unfriended her on Facebook. Or anything. And I love that. I just try to learn just to be in the moment and joyful and in tune. And they can teach us a lot.
That's what I learned from. How much have you read of Alan Watts? Have you read any Alan Watts?
No, I don't know.
Really? You don't know Alan Watts? Alan Watts introduced Eastern spiritual philosophy.
British.
The most popular. Yes, British. Yes. In the 50s. Introduced he was a minister and he introduced some wonderful books out. And anytime, went through some Zen training out there in California and read a lot of Alan Watts. I had his son on the show because his son, You know, it's his archives. He has lectures that are still available and books. There are still Alan Watt books out there that have, and essays that are just terrific. And I enjoyed, in fact, and when I, the more I strayed from religion per se, because I was raised Catholic, later on in life, the Alan Watts English, I mean, his approach to that, to Zen and Zen Buddhism, how he explained it in very everyday language that we could all understand, was the closest I ever got to not having any questions about anything, because, and I, it's hard for me to paraphrase. I'm not going to paraphrase. I always tell people that, that they should get copies of books like This Is It, Alan Watts, The Way of Zen, and any number of other books. The one of the greatest books I ever read is called The Wisdom of Insecurity. And it's a collection of, a collection of essays. By Alan Watts, which are, boy, you know, you just can't. And when, so when you say in the moment, because of all the things I ever read, the only person ever to give me the meaning of life came from, the reading, the teachings. I don't even think they're teachings. The essays of Alan Watts and how it was explained through his experiences, with Zen. And of course, you know, back in the fifth, when Alan Watts became popular, as a philosophy, of course, back in the '50s, when it was all kind of beat, you know, the beat generation was all Zen, and all that, you know, from then where we got the, I forgot his name now, on the road, the authors, how can I forget his name? Who wrote On the Road? Come on, what's his name? The famous Zen guy. Anyway, the Beat Generation defied, of course, the religious tenets. And so...
Jack Kerouac.
Thank you very much. How could I forget Jack Kerouac, right? Yeah. And all that, it was almost automatic writing in a sense. And Kerouac had a number of good books. What's wrong with me? Why? Where is she when I need her? Tell me these books! I need a name for her. Anyway, so what you're saying, when you talk about, I did all that just to get to the point where you said live in the moment, and dogs, of course. I'm always telling people who have dogs, I don't have dogs anymore. I'm telling people who have dogs, your dog is here, and your dog is here, and your dog is not thinking like you think. Animals, and the fact is that even, we don't even know how we think because we have intellectualized how we think. So when we say tree, we don't think of the word in any language. We don't see the word in front of us. We see a tree. Just like dogs do. Maybe they don't call it tree, but they know they have the sense and the instinct that that's where I should go release myself, what have you. You're right. And I think that everyone knows that they do live in the moment and there's so much you can learn from them. They're not thinking like, you know, yesterday I should not have jumped on the couch, because they might remember they jumped on the couch when you tell them, you know, and they go, oh, and something comes to their mind, some instinct or something happens. I jumped on the couch. There's a joke about training a dog. A trainer told me, okay, a dog, say the dog urinates on your rug, and the trainer, the owner comes over, smacks him and goes, don't, no. The second time the dog does it, the guy comes over and he takes the dog's head and rubs his nose in the urine, right?
Yeah.
Now the third
That's
time.
Terrible.
Yeah, right. And the third, yeah. The third time he yells and the dog seems to have gotten it, you know? And the dog stops, and then the dog never urinates again. So the guy feels he's treated him. Now, here's a cat. A cat comes into the room, and the cat starts clawing, you know how they do when they don't have a post?
Right?
He starts clawing the couch, right? He's clawing the couch, and then you smack it, and it runs away. And then you catch it again, it's clawing another thing, you know, Danny Rand goes, and then, you know, and then, so then you get a, newspaper, you catch a coin, you smack it on the back, and what happens is the cat goes, let me see. Here's what the cat did. Let me see. I was clawing the couch. And he made loud noises at me. Then I was clawing. I was doing my thing that I love to do with the chair. And he threw something at me. And then I was doing something else. And he hit me. What a coincidence! So learn. So the whole idea of learning. You know, I saw an old Tarzan movie on Saturday, and there were so many trained elephants in it. Do you realize how?
Oh yeah.
God, elephants really learn things that are amazing. I don't know how they do that, right? That's amazing.
Oh yeah, they're so smart, but the way they train them is so cruel, you know. So
but living in the moment is obviously the only way to live, because there is.
Well, like Eckhart Tolle, he wrote that book, The Power of Now. You know, he talks about just go inside and just go. Concentrate on just one point and not thinking about all these other, you know, our brains get, my brain used to be so scattered and so busy. It's a lot better now. And it feels a lot better.
Another good example is when you have to do something, a number of things, for instance, let's just say peel potatoes, right? You have a big basket of potatoes and you peel potatoes. And as you're peeling a potato, you're looking at all the potatoes you have to peel, right? A true Zen master would come up and tell you, what's the problem? Why do you look so bad? He says, because look at all these potatoes I have to peel. And the Zen says to him, what are you talking about? You only peel one.
That's good. That's true.
Those kind of things make so, right?
That's like, you know, if you have a big project or something seems too daunting. And then I know this speaker called Rita Davenport, whom I love. She used to say, I don't know if she got a prize from somebody else, but she'd say, you can eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's all related to the same, concept, and which of course cannot be accepted by, it can't be accepted by, you know, religious people. Or people in religions who believe that you're living because the future is going to be better for you, because there's no future. And you try to tell them that, you know, it's now. So that whole, I don't even know if you want to call it a philosophy. I think it's just a consciousness. That whole consciousness it's difficult to hold on to every moment of the day, because we're all subject to fears and things and, you know, neurosis and what have you. But that's all, there is. And I remember being in situations, later in life, after I kind of picked up this stuff. I don't know what to call it, but stuff. What's the difference? What you call it? And I remember being in situations that at the time seemed, they were life and death, because I've had life and death situations. And I remember, and I think about how when I was younger, how that was practically traumatic. You could take one of those instances and relive it, you know, in your mind every time something bad happens for the rest of your life, you know, for decades to come. Or you could say, look at this experience is coming, and you know what? I have no control over this. So just let it happen. And when you give in, or when you surrender to the particular situation, you can, and you do get through it. You get through it, and you learn something else there too. You don't say, hey, I'm not always going to get through it just because I feel I'm going to get through it, but I'm not going into it with, you know, like the Fighting Irish, because there's nothing I can do about it. And let's face it, I'm not saying you shouldn't, a person shouldn't defend themselves or what have you, but if you're on an operating table, when, you know, anything can happen.
That's right. That's a big surprise.
You know what she just told me? I think I just heard her say something. I swear. I think I just heard my guardian angel, who's dying to talk to me, say like, okay, smarty pants. So you got a few answers. That doesn't
I
mean.
I think I heard a voice. Did she hear a voice?
Yeah, I thought I heard her say, look, okay, smarty pants. So you think you got a few answers? Okay, that's fine. But there's way more to it. So don't let go. That's what I heard.
Yeah, good.
Is that okay?
You're getting it.
Okay. So just
next time you're going to channel me a message and read it on the show.
No, that's dangerous. That's way, way too dangerous. Marla Martinson, if you can get a reading too, I'm going to tell them right there too, and she'll tell you. You tell them how they can get a reading free.
Yeah, you can get one free if you buy any of my books. They're on Amazon: Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker, Hearts on the Line, The Buddha Made Me Do It, and my website's MarlaMartinson.com, MarlaMartinson.com. And if you send me the proof, you know, the proof of purchase, I'll give you a free angel reading. Or just go to my website, and it's only $15 to do a reading. And I also do something really nice, which is really the most popular thing people order.
What?
Is a, it's a Reiki, it's a long distance Reiki and angel reading combo. I think it's $25, and that's really nice.
How can you do Reiki?
Distance healing. Distance. There's no time and space in energy, so I just send it. I usually will ask for a photo. I don't have to have a photo, but I'll ask for a photo of a person. I'll print it out.
Okay.
And I'll be at my little altar, my healing space, and I'll have my crystals and candles and my intention, and I will send healing energy to the person. And I've had great, I always want to have feedback. And like one guy told me that he felt someone touch him on his shoulders. Thought that was probably his angel touching him on the shoulder. He can feel the energy, heat. Other people say they slept really great. One of my regular clients who comes to me in person for healings, for energy work, called me one day and wanted to come over. She goes, "Do you have any time tonight? I'm really stressed out. I need to come over." I said, "I'm sorry, I'm in Seattle." And so then I hung up, and my friend Robin, who was sitting next to me, she goes, "Well, why didn't you offer distance healing?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, what was I thinking?" So I called her back, and I says, "You know, we can do a distance healing." And she said, "Okay, well, that would be great." So I did it, and she said she never slept better, and she loved it. So anytime I'm out of town, she can still get her healing or come in. So
I have to figure out when when I can be on your show. Though I just warn you, I don't know. I don't know if you can find a topic. I don't know what I could possibly contribute in this genre. I'm not saying that for any other reason. I have been on, and I do other shows now and then. People ask me to be on, and I come on. But I sure wish, if you have questions, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, Cosmic Conversations, it's not only cosmic stuff. I do a lot of that spiritual stuff, but I also talk about dating. I talk about business. I talk about, so we can, it'd be great fun to have you.
I love to talk about relationships. You know, I've had way more fail than
you'll have some good tips for the viewers.
I have what?
You'll have some good tips for the viewers.
Well, I think I do from my experience. Yes, things from my experience that others may learn, from without making mistakes. But of course, that would still just, you know, that would be my opinion based on who I am and what have you. But I know I've made mistakes, but I also know, that I've been a victim also. So, I mean, I'm pretty balanced about it. Although, you know, I have no more heart left, but that's all another story.
I haven't met one person yet who hasn't had a heartbreak or so-called bad experience, but that's what makes us who we are and learning, right? I mean, it's all about that. So, hey, I use all my, you know, bad, so-called bad or mistake relationships. I put them in my books. It's great. It's great fodder for stories.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, life experience has taught me to, contributed to many of the things I write about and continue to write about. Listen, next time you're on here, I know you're, well, we'll figure out when I'm on there, and I'm going to introduce you to Mr. Savino so that he's another audience that you can get through to, and especially him, because, like I said, he'll talk more intelligently, at least on the in that subject, because he's well versed, mm-hmm. and I'm, you know, not. But the next time you're here, what I want to do, is talk about the negative side, not of this, because this is obviously all the positive. It's God. It's the stuff. But I want to talk about the things that are, that make that weigh people down, the things that are negative, and perhaps maybe there are the negative angels or other people being, other beings being sent or what have you. Can we do that?
Yeah, because I did in my book, The Buddha Made Me Do It, mm-hmm. I do talk about, I had some, negative energetic attachments to me.
Let's talk about all that stuff. Because yeah, I've had Satan worshippers on the show and I've had,
Gosh, wow.
Huh?
Yeah. Wow, I just said wow.
Yeah, I've a lot of people who are in different areas, not necessarily the and I've been hated by both, I might add.
Oh. Equal opportunity haters.
That's why I love finding you, because I could talk to you and not feel like I have to pull back, because like I said, there's a couple of people in your area that, you know, would never come back.
I think it's fun. But, I mean, I like, hey, that's what it's about. You know, you have to ask the big questions and ponder and push and question, and that makes it a fun conversation.
Well, then thank you once again, Marla, for being here. And I will be in touch, and I'm going to look up these other people and we'll figure out.
And everybody also, you can go to my website and get a free self-love guided meditation. I did that in the studio with some beautiful music and just like 10 minutes. You can listen to that at night and it puts into your subconscious great positive self-love.
There you go. See, and something free from my show.
There's a lot of stuff on my website for free, so go enjoy.
Go get it.
MarlaMartinson.com.
Thank you, dear.
Thanks, everybody. Bye, friends.
And you take care of yourself, okay? Okay, so there, she's fun. She's terrific. It's a wonderful, life, ladies and germs. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. See how quickly it goes. There's always so much to talk about. I hope you had your notebook out, because there are a tremendous number of things you could have written down there. Also, let me tell you something. Let me tell you this also thing. What is the also thing? The also thing is this. I'm going to look up these names and get some information about them. Maybe I'll do a whole show about them. I have decided also, while we were talking, made a little note for myself, that next week I'm going to do the Periscope show. If you have Periscope on your phone or wherever, you connect with me. Follow Frank Cotolo. Follow Frank Cotolo. Go. That's who I am there. Go get me there. And you could be on the show. There'll be any number of things that you can have there. I see Tom Savino. For you people listening on the live stream, Mr. Savino is, where is he? Let's get him. Okay, he's going to be there. And I'm going to give you to him shortly, because now it's time for this. Put everything in order here, Alex. Dun, 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 dun. That's right. Thank you again, Marla Martinson. We're going to find out a whole bunch of things. And I'm going to tell you once again, you got to go get the books. Look at the books. Let me see. I don't know what else. Get my books. Get her books. Go get books. Books. Do a lot of reading. Have a lot of fun. I'm just thinking of anything. You know, if there's anything else I have to say it right before the last thing I ever say on every show, because I don't know why. Why would I do that? Why don't I change that once in a while? So one thing that remains formatted. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Go to JuicedTalk.com to get archived shows and anything else, and a lot of other shows, including D, Thomas Savino, and various other things. And that's what I have to say for then. We'll hope to see you next week safe and sound and on the ground. I'll leave you now. I have nothing more to say.